welcome back to Kidmen Talk, episode number 146. This is Pastor Carl Bastian, a.k.a. the Kidologist, coming to you from Kidology.org as we continue our series on 10 secrets of great kid communicators, because it's not enough to talk at kids. You got to be teaching kids. If they're not learning, you're not teaching. You're just talking. So I'm giving away my secrets. They've been declassified. Today's episode is brought to you by KidCheck, the premier kids check-in system, now with touchless check-in. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a minute. But right now, wherever you're at, I just want you to chill. I want you to relax. And I want to just spend a little time with you. I love this. Thank you so much for your feedback, whether it comes by email, comments in our Facebook group, my Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. And I'm going to review all those with you briefly today. I want to make sure we're connected every way we possibly can be, because we want to make a difference in the lives of kids. Kidology's mission is to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Our collective mission is to reach and teach kids with the good news of God's love through Jesus Christ. So let's do that today as we talk Kidmen here on Kidmen Talk. All right, I'm so excited to be here with you again. Last time, if you missed it, you don't have to stop and go back. You can listen to these in any order, but this is part two of a three-part series on secrets of great kid communicators, because we don't want to just spend time with the kids. We just don't want to tell them Bible stories. We want to teach in a way that will change lives, right? We want kids begging to come to church. One of the best compliments that I got in children's ministry that I've gotten over the years is when kids complain to their parents that they do not want to miss church. Actually, I should say when parents have complained to me that their vacations are shortened because their kids don't want to leave on vacation, even to Disney World, until Sunday after church, or they got to get back on Saturday night because they don't want to miss church. That doesn't always happen, but I love when it does. And the parents, it's kind of a bittersweet when they complain to me, because they'll say, you know, we love that they love church, but we kind of wished we could have stayed longer where we were, but they wanted to get back. And so it's a compliment, but at the same time, I can tell they're kind of peeved at me at the same time. It's like I say, it's a bittersweet because they do love that their kids want to be at church, but they'll tell me their kids had to be back. Well, how do you create a learning environment that kids don't want to miss, where they are learning, but they're having a great time? And when kids are having a great time, that means that they are engaged from their heart to their mind. There's that 18-inch difference between the mind and the heart, and you got to engage both. And when you engage both, man, it is powerful. Today's podcast is brought to you by KidCheck, one of our Kidology partners. We're very grateful and thankful for our partners who help support Kidology. As you know, we are a nonprofit ministry. We are dependent on the donations, the sponsor support, and your membership. So many people come up to me and they say, oh, I love Kidology. I use your stuff. I love your stuff. Been following you for, you know, years. And I sometimes don't ask because I don't want to make them feel bad, but sometimes they'll fess up. I've never joined the site, you know? And I'm like, well, man, if you find it helpful, if you find it beneficial, then join. That is the way that you get access to everything, the full all access, but it's also how you support the ministry. And if the membership's too much, you say, I can't do that, then just drop to kidology.org/donate and just drop a donation. It blesses us, knocks our socks off every time it happens, because it's just a tangible way to say, yes, we're helping you and it is appreciate it. Thank you so much. But KidCheck is one of the ministries that I have appreciated, been thankful for. I'll drop in the show notes. I have had Alex, the founder of KidCheck, on the podcast many times. I've done many interviews with them. They've been on the cutting edge of not just check-in systems, but making kids' ministry safe for kids and for volunteers. And in the wake of this whole crazy year of COVID and heightened sensitivity to cleanliness and safety, they have introduced touchless check in so that people can check in right on their phones, and they can do it in the parking lot as they're coming in. And as they come in, they hit a green button on their phone and their stickers come out of the printer. And so it's even safer than even having to walk up to a computer or an iPad and touch the screen. And so you'll definitely want to check that out. Go to Kidology.org/KidCheck. You can learn more. You can get an exclusive discount as a member of Kidology because we love them. We love what they're doing for churches and to protect children. And they're so well respected, not only in churches, but in many environments where children are entrusted by parents to just community places that are caring for children. And so when you've got that Kid Check logo at your ministry, sometimes it is even recognized by guests as, oh, they're a Kid Check church. And so you'll definitely want to check them out. Kidology.org/KidCheck. And again, thank you to Kid Check for your support. So let's continue talking about secrets that I have declassified on how to be a great kid communicator. Last podcast, I talked about starting with a bang, planning surprises, and breaking the mold. So go back and listen to that podcast if you missed it. Today we're going to talk about four more, and next podcast we'll hit the final three. All right? The fourth one is, are you ready for it? The fourth secret is to turn spectators into participants. You know, people who are new to working with kids or don't work with kids often or maybe don't have children, kids get on their nerves. And why? Because they wiggle and they giggle and they won't sit still and they're constantly touching things and pushing things and moving things and they always got things in their hands and they're moving around the room. And I got news for them. And you know this, right? That's how God made them, right? They are explorers. They are little scientists discovering the world, and they're trying things. And if you know anything about science, it is a business of trial and error, right? We enjoy electricity, and I love Edison's quote when he was asked, what was it like to fail 1,000 times? Because it took him over 1,000 experiments to get that light bulb to turn on. And his response was, I never failed. I successfully discovered 1,000 ways not to produce light. Well, that's exactly what kids are doing. Even when they misbehave, even when they make mistakes, they are successfully discovering ways not to get what they want. And I talk about that more in my discipline workshop. But kids are moving. Kids are active. They're constantly doing things. One of my favorite sayings I got from my mom is, if you don't have a plan for the kids, they will have a plan for you. And the reason is because their plan is to have fun. Their plan's to do stuff. And if your plan is to shut that down, you're going to fail because they are going to have fun either under your direction or under your I messed my sentence up. They're going to have fun either under your direction or at your expense. So what you've got to do is turn spectators into participants. If you want the kids to all just sit there in the audience and to just look at you and give you a little golf clap, well, what a wonderful lesson that was. Well, you're in the wrong line of work, friend. You've got to turn them into participants. Kids learn by doing. In fact, I would even challenge you to train your parents, coach your parents. Please don't ask your kids what they learned at church today. You're going to get a blank look, and I'm going to look like a complete failure. Ask your kids instead, what'd you do at church today? Because as they share with you what they did at church, you're going to be able to decipher what they learned. Because kids learn by doing. God put those wiggles in. You just got to channel those wiggles. So what you need to do is constantly ask yourself, as you go through every element of your lesson prep, how can kids be a part of this? Can they hold something? Can they be physical props to show geographic locations? If you're going to give away a point or try and teach something, can they hold letters? I was teaching on forgiveness a few weeks ago. In fact, I posted on Kidology the 7 most powerful letters. I had 7 kids come up on stage just holding the letters to I'm sorry. And kids in the audience were guessing letters and they were turning them around until they spelled I'm sorry. And I kept building up that they are going to reveal the 7 most powerful letters in the world, because I'm sorry is the most powerful phrase, because it can mend relationships between nations, between friendships, in marriages, in businesses, even churches that split, because I'm sorry is so powerful. Well, I can preach that till I'm blue in the face, but when there's kids on stage holding those letters, when there's kids guessing letters and getting a little candy if they guess the right letter, they're all now a part of it. In fact, when I've taught this in a workshop, before I've even done the turn spectators into participants, I've taken those letters, printed them out, cut them up, put them into balloons, had four men from the audience and four women come up and race to pop the balloons, find the little scrolls of paper, unroll the scrolls of paper, and then try to put them in order. And it's kind of fun because you get a little Yoda speak, because they're trying to figure out what this phrase is. I don't tell them. And so they're going, spectators into participants turn, and turn participants spectators into, and they're moving around until they finally get turn spectators into participants. So it's important to make sure that we engage them, because after they've gone through that whole process, then when I talk about it, they've wrestled with it, they've had fun with it, and it's so much fun. So you need to constantly be asking yourself, what can kids do to participate in this? They can hold stuff. They can answer questions. They can repeat things after you. They can jump up every time you say a key word. You don't want to just be talking at them, all right? You remember screensavers? We don't really need screensavers anymore, because screensavers actually used to save screens, right? Way back when screens were one color, they were all green. If there was text that was permanent on the screen, it would burn into the screen. I know I'm dating myself. Some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And my wife, man, she was cool, because when she was my girlfriend way back in college, she got a screen that was amber. It was like orange instead of green, but it was the same single color screen. In fact, I remember when I got my first computer that was 16 shades of gray, and then my buddy Barney Kennard got 16 colors. I was so jealous, because I was stuck with 16 shades of gray for another 2 years before I could upgrade my computer. But you had screensavers, because if you weren't using your computer, it would start playing a pattern or pictures, and it was to make sure that nothing got burned into your screen. Well, now we don't need that. We have screensavers now for entertainment. Well, they were important. And the way a screensaver activated is if nothing was stimulating the computer, the screensaver would turn on. Well, screensavers may be outdated and not needed, but kids still have screensavers. They have internal screensavers that are inside their little brains. And here's how they work. If you're not engaging their brain, if you're not nudging their hearts, if you're not capturing their attention, they could be sitting there looking like they're listening to you, but inside their brain, a little screensaver goes up. And it could be Gumball. It could be Xbox. It could be Star Wars. It could be Mighty Morphin Flower Rangers. It could be the Powderpuff Girls. It could be what they're going to do after church. It could be a YouTuber that they like. You never know what it is. It's something that's more interesting than you at the moment, and it just pops up, and it's playing. Even though their eyes are open, they're looking at you. I mean, it happens in big church, too. In fact, adults get good because adults know how to nod and keep making gestures even though their screensaver's playing. So how do you break the screensaver? You got to nudge them. You have to capture their attention, right? You got to do something that makes the screensaver disappear, right? And you can do that through being animated. You can do it through raising your voice. You can do it through showing them something visually. You can even do it by walking around and putting a hand on a shoulder or tousling some hair, anything that nudges them and breaks them out of it. But the best way is to turn them into spectators, because the screensaver cannot kick on if a kid's participating in the lesson. So make sure you turn those spectators into participants. That's number four. Number five, oh man, I love this. I know I keep saying they're my favorites, but this is definitely one of my favorites, and that is to create experiences. You need to create experiences, right? Kids need to feel the point of your lesson. If we just talk at people, we could talk to her blue in their face. They're not going to get it. They need to feel the experience. And so we have to ask ourselves, this is what I'm teaching. This is what I want them to go home learning. Is there a way I can create this? And there's so many ways we can do that. One time years ago, I was teaching about initiative. I love the word initiative. It's a big word for me. Initiative is seeing what needs to be done and doing it without being asked, right? It's the one characteristic that makes a difference between leaders and followers, successful people and less successful people. Man, it's what I talk to my kids' crew about. I'd like to write a book about it for kids someday. Initiative is powerful. But I could talk about it till I'm blue in the face. So what I did is I had a trash can right inside the room, knocked over, spilled with trash just all over the floor. And I just had it there. And I told the leaders, don't pick that up because leaders have initiative. And I just watched to see how many kids, if any kids, would come into the room, see the knocked over trash can, and pick it up. Because initiative is seeing what needs to be done and doing it without being asked, especially when it's not your job. And not one kid did it. So when I began to teach about initiative, I said, by the way, how many of you guys saw the trash can laying sideways as you came in the door? I mean, they had to literally go around it or step over it. They all saw it. And I was curious, nobody picked it up. Why? No one's in trouble. It wasn't your job. Yeah, I didn't ask anyone to do it. I'm just curious. And they said, well, I didn't knock it over. I thought someone else would do it. And they all experienced that they did not have initiative. And when I have done that, I have had one kid who did it. And then later I'll go knock it over again. I'll just bump it over. I won't make a big deal. And I'll ask the kid, why'd you do it? Why did you pick it up? And they'll explain their thinking. Well, someone could get hurt. I mean, I've stopped in the road to get a hazardous thing out of the road, right? It's not my job. But I'm like, well, you know, it could cause an accident, could save a life, right? We all understand why we sometimes do things. We see what needs to be done and do it without being asked. All right, so it's important. One of the most powerful ones that hit me, I'll share a story that I was guilty of. I was a middle school leader at a church while I was not in full-time ministry. I was full-time with Kidology and not a pastor at the time. And I was just a middle school leader at a church in my community. I loved doing it. It was a relatively big church. There were a lot of kids. And one night, the middle school pastor, he invited a middle school boy that was a relative of his from another church that nobody knew. And he said, hey, I want you to come on the night of our youth group, and I want you to come to the middle of the room where we all just gather before it starts when it's early. And I want you just to sit off to the side against a pillar, but where everyone can see you, and just sit there with your hoodie on and your head down like you're sad. Don't cry or anything. Just be plain. And they put a camera on him and they filmed. And I was one of the leaders who I don't remember now if I ever even saw him, but which would be my excuse, but I still didn't have my eyes open. But there were people that kind of walked up to him and kind of looked at him, but no one spoke a word to him. And then the lesson that night was on outreach and seeing what Jesus sees and blah, blah, blah. And then when he showed that video and he said, tonight, and how many of you believe we should do this? He got everyone to, oh yeah, we need to notice and we need to reach out. We need to be bold. And he said, well, by the way, just to test this, this is what I did tonight. Man, you could have heard a penny drop, a pin drop, because everyone there knew, like, they had seen this kid or they had missed seeing this kid. And not one person had gone up to him and said, hey, are you okay? Or introduced themselves, or, you know, what brought you here tonight? Not one person had. And that was so powerful. His lesson was great. He could have taught the lesson. But what made the lesson more powerful was that he created an experience. So we all left there going, man, next time I want to be the person that went up and talked to him. You're like, I want to be the person that does the right thing. So you want to create an experience. How can you do that? Oh man, it's so fun. There's so many ways you can do that. One of my favorites that I did once years ago, as I was going to be teaching on the golden calf. And I'm like, golden calf, how in the world do I get today's kids to understand making an idol and the golden calf? And so I had my I got a phone call, and if you listen to the previous podcast, I got one of my stories backwards. This was the story I was goofing up, where I had my pastor call me in the middle of my lesson. So I'm teaching away at the beginning of kids' church, and my phone rings. And I'm like, I answer the phone, and I'm like, yeah, oh, it's Pastor Dave, everybody. And so, And so I'm listening, like, right now? Really? You know I'm in the middle of children's church. Yeah. Okay. All right, sure. Yeah. Yes, boss. Right away, sir. And I'm explaining to the kids, I'm really sorry about this, but Pastor Dave wants me to come right now. Like, he needs me right now. He wants to give me something to share with you guys. Well, we had planned ahead of time that one by one, the leaders would leave the room before I got the phone call. So I'm now the last adult in the room. And they went into a side room. We hooked up a camera and with a microphone and wired into a side room. So we were supervising by video. Now, this is back in the late 90s. This is like high tech, right? And so I'm like, I have a kids crew. So I'm like, okay, kids crew, really quick. I gotta go quick. Why don't you guys sing another song or two? And if I'm not back, I went in the back. I pulled out my Bible quizzing cards. Here's a bin full of Bible quizzing. Maybe do some Bible quizzing. You can use my prize bin or candy. You know, kids get the right answers. I gave a couple of quick ideas for the kids crew. I put the kids in charge, and I left. I just went in the side room. My boss doesn't even have a clue he's up preaching. So we go in the side room, and I'm gone. We leave the kids without adult supervision that they're aware of. And I was gone for 40 minutes, and we just watched. And it went pretty well for a little while. They sang a song. There were a couple kids that right away we knew who would wander around or just sit and talk. And then they tried to do a game, and it didn't go well. They didn't really respect the kids' crew leadership very well. And they tried to do Bible trivia. Then it started to break up into segments, kids just turning into huddles, kids wandering around the room. Then we had some kids do some things they shouldn't do. We had kids that went backstage, which they're not allowed to do, and some kids that went and stole from the prize box. And kids' crew, they tried to maintain order. Never got to it. There were a couple points we almost went in. We're like, no, for this experience to work, we need, unless there's like physical danger or a fight breaks out, we need to let this run its course. Stealing prizes, you know, that's survivable. We went 40 minutes. Well, two of the boys on my crew were instructed after 30 minutes that they were to kind of start an uprising and to say, just to start arguing and saying, Pastor Carl should not leave us. He's a bad pastor. We need a new pastor. So they went in the back room. They got this giant Kermit the Frog that someone had donated to me. They wanted a carnival. They brought out this huge Kermit the Frog. I mean, it's like human size. And they anointed it as the new children's pastor. And then they had fun. They put a puppet on one hand of the Kermit and a Bible in the other hand. And they put a hat on it. They sat it on a chair. And they weren't supposed to do this, but they started bowing down to Pastor Kermit, declaring him Pastor Kermit. Some of the kids got into it, and they all started going, oh, Pastor Kermit. Some kids, my loyal kids, started going, that's not right. Pastor Carl's a good pastor, and don't say bad things about Pastor Carl. We love Pastor Carl. And I'm like writing their names down. They're getting extra candy, right? And so chaos kind of broke out in the room. Well, when I came back in the room, oh my goodness, it was a scene I'll never forget. The kids all surged at me and started pointing fingers and telling me who did what and what these two boys had done. The guilty kids kind of moved off to the side, kind of hid the candy and the prizes that they had stolen, and it was chaos. I had to get on the microphone and say, everybody sit down. Everybody's all right. First of all, nobody's in trouble. Secondly, I've been watching from that camera up there. No one's in trouble. I did this for a reason. And then I explained how Moses and God's people, Moses got a call and he went away, and it wasn't for 40 minutes. It was for 40 days. And that's when he got the Ten Commandments. But they lost faith. They made a fake. You think Pastor Kermit's dumb? They made a cow, like a golden cow, and started like bowing to a golden cow. How dumb is that, right? But it was because they thought Moses had abandoned them. It was an incredible experience. All right? I could take an hour to tell you experience after experience that I've created for the kids. And you got to be careful because you don't want to create an experience where there's, you know, tears or anger. But you can do games that feel unfair. And then at the end, in fact, I just put one on. It's under the What's New right now. It's an elbow balloon tag. It's like a hot potato game. where if they got caught with a balloon, they get a sticker and they're out and they're disappointed. But then it turned out all the kids who got out actually won. And we asked the kids who got out how they felt getting out. Well, guess what? I have good news. You actually won. The kids who thought they won, how do you feel thinking you won and finding out you lost? And we talked about how the world, what the world says is winning, what God says is winning. And then to squelch any bad feeling, like, you're all going to get a prize. This is an object lesson. That's why we did this game. So everyone gets a prize on the way out today. There's no winners. There's no losers. But I wanted you guys to feel what it's like to be disappointed, because there's going to be people. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed men once to die and after that to face the judgment. And they're going to get to heaven. They're going to be disappointed because they thought they were winning and they lost. And there's going to be people who thought that they lost and they won, because His ways are not our ways and our thoughts are not His thoughts. And I won't teach you the whole lesson. You could teach it. But you want to create those experiences, because kids learn from and remember experiences. They don't remember lectures. So you want to create wonder or amazement or disappointment or unfairness or failure or curiosity or challenge or even laughter. And games are a great way to do that. And kidology is loaded with experiences that you can learn. All right. Number four, turn spectators into participants. Number five, create experiences. Number six, this is another one of my favorites. I think they're all my favorites. Number six is get off the stage. All right. When you're on the stage, you're an authority. When you get off the stage, you're authentic. All right. So get off the stage. Don't just be a teacher. You want to be a friend. Jesus said that He was a friend of sinners. You want to be a friend to your kids. And it's very dramatic when you come out and you get off the stage, especially if your stage is elevated. You step down off that stage, you become a man of the people, right? A woman of the people, right? When there's a video playing, don't sit on the stage and watch it. Go out and sit next to a kid. They're like, oh, Pastor Carl sitting right next to me. It's like the highlight of their Sunday. You sat next to them, all right? So go down, sit next to a kid and watch the video with the kids. It helps with crowd control. Anyway, sit next to those kids that sometimes are chatting and stuff. Go, shh, watch the video. But you're sitting next to them, all right? Sometimes I'll take my stool down off the stage and I'll pull all the kids in. And I can have a real heart-to-heart with them. Now, I know right now we're doing social distancing. I'm talking about outside of this crazy era. And I'll pull the kids in. And you know what? In those moments, I don't need a prop. I don't need a puppet. I don't need humor. I can have a really serious talk with them. And I can say, you know, guys, there's just something I want to share with you. And I want to be really serious for a moment. Can I be really serious for a moment? And they will. And all the funny and all the game and all the laughter and all the visual, that is deposits in the relational bank that earns you the right to be really serious. Bad teachers make the mistake of thinking authority gives them a right to be serious. It doesn't. Relationship gives you the right to be serious. And so you do all that fun stuff, the crazy stuff, the costume stuff, all that. They love you. They adore you. They respect you. And then you spend that cred to say, man, there's just something I got to tell you right now. You know, I know a lot of you like Pokemon, and I know the motto is you got to get them all. I just got to tell you, that motto, that's from some businessman up in a tall building somewhere. He's rich. He drives a big sports car. And he made that motto because he wants little boys to want to buy all the Pokemons. I like Pokemons. I think they're cool. But if you're in the grocery store and your mom says no to buying you a pack of Pokemons and you collapse on the ground, you're having a temper tantrum, and you're screaming and yelling and disrespecting your mom because you got to have them all, you're giving in to some businessman's motto and being mean to your mom who loves you, feeds you, cares for you, fixes your boobies, your boo-boos. Got to edit that. All right. And you're falling on the ground and kicking and screaming and having a temper tantrum and disrespecting your mom who, you know, loves you, cares for you, buys you stuff, has already bought you a ton of Pokemons. That's just not right. Or maybe when Harry Potter was a big controversial thing, and I'm like, hey, I know some of your parents will let you read it. Some of you, you know, your mom, you guys love Harry Potter. You know, you need to honor your parents. You know, and whatever decision your parents make, it's because they love you. It's because they're trying to do what's right. And even when you disagree with your parents' decisions, you need to know that every decision your parents make comes out of their love for you. And because they want what's best for you, and because they have a concern. And they might know you better than you even know yourself. And they're going to make some wrong decisions, but they're always going to make decisions that are for your good. And you can have these heart-to-hearts with them. And I've had so many of those, and the kids will listen, and it will make a huge difference. So get off the stage. Last one, number 7 for today, podcast number 3, we're going to do the final ones. And this is a biggie for me, all right? Use God's word. You know, it breaks my heart how many churches, how many children's ministry, children's pastors don't use the Bible. That sounds crazy, right? That'd be like going to Burger King and not getting a burger, right? I mean, we're about teaching the Bible. But there's so many children's ministries, the only glimpse of the Bible is on a slide on the screen. But that's not God's word. God's word is the Bible. And we need kids to know that there is a Bible. So please teach from the Bible. Hold a Bible. Don't just use your phone. That's great for convenience. And I get that the Bible is living and active, and it's not a physical book. It's a spiritual, the words of God, right? But there's something powerful about the word of God and kids knowing that's our authority. It's not just some online source that's equal to Google and Facebook and Twitter, and it's just an online source. No, there's a physical book. Put your notes that you're teaching from in your Bible. So when you're even seeing what's next in the lesson, you're referring to your Bible. It's powerful. And this is another big pet peeve or push of mine. Anything you ask kids to do, you've got to be willing to do. If you want kids to memorize the books of the Bible, you need to know the books of the Bible. If you want kids to memorize the Ten Commandments, you need to memorize the Ten Commandments. Any memory verse that you want the kids to memorize, you need to memorize it. They need to see you memorizing it. You shouldn't be quizzing kids. I don't have my Bible right here, and I'm talking about the Bible. But you shouldn't be reading the verse while you quiz them. You should be able to quiz them just by listening to them because you memorized it. Now, will kids memorize a verse that you don't have memorized? Absolutely, because you're a teacher and they're a student. But what is the unspoken lesson that you're teaching kids when you have them memorize stuff that you don't bother to memorize? What you're saying is, this is a kid thing. You'll outgrow this. When you're a grown-up like me, you won't need God's word. And that is a dangerous message. We do not outgrow God's word. I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and they were giving away stuff to win a prize, and a children's pastor came up to me, and he wanted some of these drawing slips, and we just had to make him do anything. And so I said, quote a Bible verse. And he was like, I said, John 3:16. I was like, Genesis 1:1. I was trying to like be easy. I just wanted to give him a drawing slip. This was a children's pastor, and he had a cool T-shirt on. They had a Bible verse on his shirt. I said, well, quote that one. And he's trying to read it upside down. And I very gently, because he was a lot bigger than me, I very gently challenged him, dude, you got to start hiding God's word in your heart. If you're teaching kids to love and to know God's word, and you can't quote me a Bible verse, there's something wrong, because you're the kid's hero. They look up to you. And he might be the coolest dude. He was pretty cool. A godly dude living for Jesus, giving his time and energy to teach kids and to share Jesus with them. But his lack of knowledge of the word of God is sending a message that contradicts his life. Now, I'm not judging him. I don't know him personally. I just met him in that encounter, maybe a new believer, but he's a pastor. He's in charge of a children's ministry. It's never too late to begin. You got to be a disciple. We reproduce ourselves in others. So if we want kids to have a love for God's word, it starts with us. We've got to have a love for God's word. That goes for prayer. That goes for quiet time. That goes for anything that we're imparting to kids. We need to use God's words. All right? So use God's word. Teach from God's word. And make sure God's word is a priority in your life. All right? Sound good? Thank you for listening. Make sure we are connected on social media, all right? Obviously, Facebook, go to kidology.org/kidology. That'll take you to our Facebook group. I'd love if you friend me. Go to facebook.com/carl.bastian. Our Instagram is Instagram, kidology.org. All right, Twitter is @kidology. Make sure we're connected. so you don't miss out on what's new on Kidology, constantly putting out new resources and discounts and coupon codes and all that good stuff. And also, I love to see what you're doing in your kids' ministry. Remember, Kidology is not just all my stuff. It is a community of people sharing what God is doing in and through them and their ministry. So please also share what you're doing. And join me next time for the final three secrets of being a great kid community.